From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the government's poor response in Ohio. A state's attorney general warns pharmacies considering the abortion pill, and an update from Asbury University. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. It's been 3 weeks since a train derailed near East Palestine, Ohio, and it took nearly that entire 3 weeks for anybody from the Biden administration to even show up. And that has come across as very unacceptable to the people of Ohio. Joining Tony to discuss the government's response is Representative Tim Burchett of Tennessee. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Big fan of yours and the great work y'all do on the station.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Boy, looking at your committees, you're going to be one busy guy in the 118th Congress.
Yeah, a lot of people just have one committee. Some have two. It was then Speaker Kevin McCarthy called me and asked me if I'd serve on oversight. And I had not asked for it. I had not put in for it because it's really a very good committee. I didn't figure as the 435th most powerful member of Congress I would be considered for that committee. But he saw something in me and put me on there. So I'm going to be very busy, but I look forward to it.
Well, speaking of oversight, transportation is going to be doing some oversight as we see this unfolding crisis continuing to unfold in East Palestine, Ohio. Your thoughts on the federal response to this disaster?
Well, it's a disaster in itself. There again, you have an administration that just checks a box. They don't put, I always say, put the best players in, coach. Personal lives aside, this guy is a disaster. We've seen this time and time again. I was a county mayor. You know, I did crazy things like pay down debt and get the county out of everybody's business and was able to lower taxes and actually give pay raises. So I know what it takes to be a mayor, but I'm not qualified to be Secretary of Transportation, and there's no way in the world this guy is. You know, he's a charade. I met him. I know him. I guess I like him as a person, but it's just all a charade. And the case in point is when he would have his security detail three suburbans deep, I guess, and would stop a half a block outside of his office, and he would get his bicycle out and ride it in for all the reporters, and they would lap it up like Pavlov's dog, the national media would, and say, oh, look at him. He's riding his bicycle. He's a friend of ours. You know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that the left does, this messaging. And as of yet, their messaging has been pretty pitiful. You have a president who sent $100 billion to Ukraine. He won't even pay a visit to his own people. And these globalists have got to stop. We've got to get control of this thing. And it's just a complete nightmare. And blaming it on the Trump administration when they've had 2 years of untethered liberal Marxist policies and spending is falling on deaf ears.
Well, Congressman, as a former county official, you know people care about things when they're closest to them. And, yes. You know, I was in the legislature in Louisiana, and, you know, the issues of drainage, you know, these things that affect people where they live each and every day. It matters. And transportation, obviously, is something we've seen disaster after disaster in this administration, whether it's the airlines, whether it's the airports, now the rail. So is this the result, though, of the left playing identity politics where they just, as you said, check a box, they put somebody in it because it reaches one of their constituencies, one of their left-wing constituencies? Doesn't matter that the American public is going to suffer as a result of the incompetence.
100%, Tony. I think it's part of a bigger plan of gaining more control by allowing things like this to happen. And they say, oh, look, we need to step in. The government needs to step in. We need to control your transportation. We need to control your housing. We need to control your energy. And all these things are happening right now in our country. And it's continued to... it's just continued to do that, and we've got to put a stop to it. It's just beyond belief.
Is this something that the Transportation Committee will be looking into?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Speaker McCarthy has said every committee will have an oversight facet to it, which is what we originally Congress really originally set out to do. And currently, that's not what we're doing under Democrat leadership. But now it has changed since January. As they say, there's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Kevin McCarthy, and he is keeping his word to the American people.
He is. In fact, I was texting with him about that this morning. Again, going back to the committees you are on, you have an impressive list of committees. The fact that you not only deal with domestic issues and government accountability and oversight, but foreign affairs issues. I want to go to this topic of, are we looking at the development of a new Cold War with, not with Russia this time, but Russia being a proxy for China?
Yes, sir. I heard you in your preamble, and you were 100% on target, Tony. This deal with Ukraine, the Chinese are watching. I had breakfast with Secretary Pompeo, a group of us did, maybe 6 months ago, and he said, look, Tim, they know how many paper clips are going into your building. The Chinese are taking notes of all of this. They're watching our supply chain. They're watching how the political response to this thing. This balloon issue, the first one was a spy balloon, and now he's watching us shoot down party balloons with $435,000 Sidewinder missiles. And he's also shown the political ability of Canada, of all people, being more aggressive. I totally suspect the president of Canada wears skinny jeans and has a man bun. And this guy says, shoot the dadgum balloon down. And before we do. And then you realize that this president told General Milley to shoot that dadgum balloon down. I'm sorry, I'm getting worked up, but it's the truth. And he pushed back on it.
He picked up the hotline to China.
Exactly. And this is the general that, if you remember, in the final days of the Trump administration, was in secret negotiations with China, our enemy, the people that want to destroy us, that created the COVID virus, that caused death and destruction across the world. And now this is the same dadgum general who tells this president, you know, there's a reason George Washington, and God bless our leaders, George Washington did a lot of things, but one thing he did I thought was really cool. He took his military uniform off when he became president. That was not just a thing of convenience. That was a symbol to this country that, in fact, a civilian will be in charge of our military, not a king, not a general, but a civilian. And that civilian was the president of the United States. And we have a president of the United States whose cognitive level has dropped considerably. I tell people, my friends in the church, I say, what can we do? I say, pray for your country and vote. Because 20 million so-called evangelical Christians, Tony, stayed home in these last elections. And that's how Joe Biden is president of the United States. And we have nobody. We can say they stole it, but dadgummit, we gave a lot away to them. And we've got to get control of that.
You're absolutely right. We've got to flood the polls at every election with our folks and overwhelm any shenanigans that they're engaged in. But we're up against a break, but I agree with you on the balloon and what's happening with China. When I saw that balloon, I said, I smell a Milley, because that relationship, Milley should not still be in his position, given his own acknowledgement of his relationships with China behind the back of President Trump. Tim, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today. Look forward to having you on again real soon.
Thank you, brother, anytime. And thank you for the great work y'all are doing.
Appreciate it. All right, I tell you what, he does have a really impressive list of committees. We could have him on every day. He's got so many different subject matters to cover. Well, coming up, good news from Kansas, where Walgreens has confirmed it will not distribute harmful chemical abortion pills. We're going to be joined by the Attorney General of Kansas, Chris Kobach, next.
Retail pharmacy giants CVS and Walgreens recently announced they now plan to carry chemical abortion pills, which the mother self-administers, often while alone, to induce an abortion. Thousands of Christians have signed a petition pleading with them not to facilitate the fastest-growing form of abortion, which also inflicts the greatest harm on women. Come join the petition and tell Walgreens and CVS that pharmacies should not become abortion facilities. Just text PHARMACY to 67742.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. All right. I've discussed this on the program many times. Both CVS and Walgreens have indicated they intend to join the abortion industry by distributing dangerous chemical abortion pills from their stores, essentially turning your neighborhood pharmacy into an abortion facility. But in some good news, Walgreens confirmed that they will not be selling these risky pills in stores in the state of Kansas or distribute them by mail in that state. Now, this announcement came in response to a letter from the Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach informing the national pharmacy chain that such actions in his state were illegal. He's now asked CVS to do the same. Now, could this be a path forward for other states with pro-life leaders? Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach. General, good to see you again.
Great to be with you.
So it was just earlier this month that you wrote to Walgreens informing them that selling abortion pills in Kansas is a federal crime. Were you surprised that they responded so quickly and positively?
You know, actually, I was. I thought perhaps they might dig their heels in or take a very long time to give us an answer. But to Walgreens' credit, they evidently looked at the legal background and the statutes in question and decided that the right move for them was to fully comply with the law and to agree not to dispense within the state of Kansas. And so we are hoping that CVS reaches the same conclusion.
Now, I know in the last 2 years under the Biden administration, the attorneys general of the states, the Republicans, have been really a brick wall against some of the policies pushed by the Biden administration. Is this something you've discussed with some of your counterparts in other states?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, there is a 25-state lawsuit involved on this issue as well, contesting the Biden administration's interpretation of federal statute. I shouldn't say a lawsuit, but a letter. And the other states are looking at this very same issue because, as you mentioned, federal law very clearly says that you shall not mail abortive fashions through the mail using the U.S. Postal Service. And many state laws, including Kansas's, and there are numerous other states, say that a doctor has to be present when any abortion procedure occurs. And, you know, it's interesting, the left has been telling us for so long that they want abortion to be safe and legal. And that's what these laws do. These laws ensure that a doctor is present because these abortion pills cause multiple complications in some cases. But now that when they see the opportunity in the Biden administration for this to be just distributed to people without any doctor being there, they're more than happy to push for that. So, yes, other states are looking at this as well, and I'm hopeful that other states will, you know, get a similar answer from Walgreens.
So let me ask you the question. If they were, let me give you a hypothetical just for the state of Kansas. I know it may be different in other states, but if a pharmacy went forward like a CVS, what type of legal action could you take?
So there are two possibilities. One is the federal law. Normally, a federal criminal law is only enforceable by the U.S. Justice Department. But this particular law has a RICO provision, which is racketeering, corrupt influence organizations. You might say, well, what does this have to do with RICO and mafia, which is what most people associate RICO with? In fact, there are a host of federal crimes that allow for RICO actions. And RICO actions can be brought by private individuals and they can be brought by states. And we pointed out in our letter to Walgreens is that we would fully intend to move forward on that if Walgreens started dispensing within the state of Kansas via mail or through the stores directly to consumers. And then on top of that, you have various state laws, which typically are criminal laws.
So who would be the individual that would be subject to the criminal penalties here? Could this be the leadership, the executives of these pharmacies that make the decision to sell these illegal drugs?
You know, that's an interesting question. It would depend, of course, on the circumstances, but if you're talking about a RICO action, the RICO action seeks civil penalties. And so it doesn't actually seek, a criminal penalty on anyone, but the defendant has to pay treble damages, which is extremely high.
Very costly.
Great penalty. Yeah.
What's interesting about the RICO is that that has been used against some pro-lifers in years past, even I think from your own state of Kansas in the past, against some involved in trying to stop abortion outside of abortion clinics. That would be kind of interesting to see this used against those pharmacies selling this into states that are pro-life states that are simply trying to protect the unborn.
You know, and it shows the wisdom of Congress in putting these RICO avenues in multiple federal statutes. You know, another one that many people may be unaware of is that some of our immigration laws have RICO penalties or RICO actions tied into the statute, too, because Congress envisioned that there might be a day when you have a federal administration in the White House that doesn't want to enforce the law, that doesn't want to prosecute the crime. And in those circumstances, then it's up to private individuals or states to bring a RICO action. And that's exactly what we are anticipating may have to be done here. But thankfully, Walgreens' vision.
But General Kobach, last question for you, though, as you see this kind of playing out, I mean, you're out there, you've sent this letter, they've responded in a positive way, you're now reaching out to CVS. I mean, how I see this playing out, quite frankly, we could have half the states or more where selling these drugs would be illegal, and it would only be the states that have declared themselves to be pro-abortion states where selling these drugs in pharmacies would be legal.
You know, I think that is entirely possible. And as long as the federal government is not willing to enforce criminal penalties and enforce this federal criminal statute, that's where we are. And, you know, this is one of the consequences of having an administration in D.C. in the White House that doesn't want to enforce some federal criminal laws. They're doing that in this context, in the abortion context. And of course, they're doing it with regard to immigration and a host of other issues.
Well, it's also important as it emphasizes the need to have men and women at every level of government, like yourself as the Attorney General of Kansas, that's willing to enforce the law when others will not. And so this is why we've got to be voting in every election and making sure that at every level of government we have those that are not lawless, but rather they're willing to abide by the law and enforce the law. So, General, I want to thank you for coming on today. I want to thank you for your leadership on this. Always good to see you.
You can find out more about Chris Kobach when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And while you're there, you can sign our petition asking pharmacies to not become abortionists by providing mail-order abortion drugs. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
It's so important for Christians to learn how to apply their faith to the big issues and questions everyone is talking about today. Which is why Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview presents Now We Live, a 6-week video series created in partnership with Summit Ministries. This free Biblical Worldview series will spark rich discussions about some of life's most foundational questions and challenge you to think about topics you see every day in a whole new way. Access this important series by going to frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday of this week, our own Jay Johnston was asked by Asbury University to come and help them host a special event that's been planned for over a year. Dr. Johnston joined Tony Perkins from Asbury prior to the event.
Dr. Jay, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Tony.
Well, you're getting pretty comfortable up there in the Bluegrass State, huh?
Well, it's beautiful springtime weather, so the Lord's blessing up here right now.
So last night, you were in the chapel service, and you're going to be there again tonight helping with the counseling and the prayer. Tell us about what you saw last night. Is this still going strong?
Yeah. In fact, there were students that started gathering outside the Hughes Auditorium and some of the other auditoriums that they use for overflow, I would say about noon yesterday, and just worship, share with one another, pray with one another. And so, yeah, the Hughes Auditorium was packed last night, as well as the other auditoriums that they use for overflow.
So it's been about a week. I think you were there about this time last week. A little earlier in the week. Any comparison? What does this week look like compared to last week?
The last night, I would say it seemed to be that there were more students that may have been brought from other campuses and from local churches or churches, not just even local. I met people from Connecticut, from California, from different parts of the Midwest who were here. And they asked for a show of hands last night, and maybe not right at a half of the auditorium, but close to it were high school and middle school students. So that was a little bit different. But the intensity of the worship, the testimonies continued to be pouring out and just sharing. And then there was also a very strong, very clear presentation of the gospel right from God's word that was taken to share with those students. And there were a large number that first stood up and said that they wanted to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior and stand with Jesus. And then they came forward and were prayed with and also received a Bible.
Wow. There's been some, I mean, reading the reports and reading what people talk about, there's always people that want to comment on everything. I mean, I'm excited to see what's happening here and just want to see it grow and expand across the country. Is it the precursor to another awakening? I don't know. It'll be a while before we see that. I pray that it is. We absolutely need it as a nation. But I rejoice in the lives that are being transformed. There are some that are kind of critical, questioning the university for saying this is the last night. They're stopping it. They're going to end the revival. But that's not what the university leadership is actually saying.
No, they're continuing to nurture it with their students, and they're very jealous protective, to make sure that their students really grab hold of who God is. And so they're continuing to nurture that. And even last night, one of the leaders of the university just shared in the closing moments about tonight being the last night and really tonight being a launch night to go out to other places around the country. And so they're not seeing it as an ending. They're seeing it as a stewardship of just sending it out to other places.
So, and that's part of having the other students on the campus. You said you encountered people from Connecticut, and last time you were there, you saw people from different states. I think you mentioned Colorado and just all over the country that have come there. And so we're now seeing that other universities, other places are experiencing similar outpourings of the Holy Spirit and a spiritual stirring among their students.
Yes, and they are. And the ministering that they're doing, this isn't just about a bunch of folks, gathering and just, I guess, you know, it's not like a concert. It's full participation of worship. It is just beautiful to hear them sing. Often the instruments stop. And the people just continue to sing. In fact, last night they were switching about every 2 hours. The students switch worship teams, and as they were switching last night, the participation from those in the congregation, without anybody leading from the platform, continued on. I would say at least 5 minutes where they just continue to sing and to worship. And the ministering of prayer around where you're sitting, and just not just down front, but around each other. There was just also a real call to repentance last night that was led. And people, I mean, I would have to just say either everybody was on their knees or they were totally laying prostrate on their faces. I mean, it was a beautiful sight to behold and just to be participating in, of just that act of surrender.
Dr. Jay, you'd mentioned to me earlier that the last night as they talked about this, that seeing this as kind of a cannon shot of sending this out across the country. So tonight, this just happens to coincide with the Collegiate Day of Prayer. And so campuses across the country are going to be gathered to pray, and there'll be a simulcast, a broadcast from Asbury University tonight. Is that a part of the hope tonight, that through that two-hour broadcast beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern time to 10 o'clock, that this is something that could help accelerate the expansion of this across the country?
I believe so, Tony. And part of it is God's design is that the Collegian Day of Prayer team requested of Asbury a year ago if they could come here on February 23, 2023 for the 200th day of Collegian Day of Prayer. So this is a God-orchestrated time for them. And the Collegian Day of Prayer team has really had to make an adjustment from what their program was to what God is doing and joining in that work here at Asbury. And so I do believe through the simulcast, the intention is that now Asbury's just blessing and sending it out to God, just take it wherever you want it to go. You know, every Monday for years upon years, the faculty has prayer walked not only the campus, but also around the community. And for years upon years, the retirees of Asbury, who often just stay in the community somewhere nearby, they gather on a weekly basis to pray. And so there is a lot of prayer that just continues to permeate what this place. And they're seeing the answers that the students are really grabbing hold of the truth of God's word and what he has for them.
Dr. Jay, we're up against the end of the program, but very quickly, there's a hunger out there. People are traveling across the country to get to Asbury. Our churches need revival. 10 seconds, what do churches need to do to experience it?
I would say open up tonight and begin having prayer meetings, just allowing people to come and pray. Start there and allow God to work.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You can find a link to the National Collegiate Day of Prayer event over at tonyperkins.com. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.